Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Yesterday, I got a letter in the mail to the church from another church in another city in Texas inviting me to a seminar on how you can cast out demons and deliver people. And for $50, I can learn how to cast out demons and deliver people. Folks, God does that.
Amen.
Men doesn't do that. God's Word does that. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You don't need to go to a seminar to learn how to do something. You just need to let God control your life. There's a lot of people that say, I have to do this in order to show that I am saved. I have to do this before as I... And if you're saved, you will cast out demons. And if you don't, you're not. If you're saved, you will speak in another tongue. But if you don't, you're not. That's not true, folks. God can do whatever He wants to. And what is in this God, in this Word, is what we live by. That's where true faith is. It's been around. Fake has been around for centuries. Fake has been around ever since God created man. And this morning, in way of introduction, I want to read a passage that Paul writes to Timothy. And it's about faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 18, verses 18 through 20, he writes this. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Folks, we are warring for the truth. We are warring against the fake. There's a lot of people who think that they're going to get to heaven and they're going to miss it. And today we're going to preach how you do it. What is true faith and what is fake? And it says here in verse 19, it says, "Holding faith and a good conscience." A lot of people think they know faith, but deep down inside they know they don't. There's an empty spot there. And it basically says, it says, "What some have put away concerning faith have made shipwreck." You know how you wreck a ship? You don't know where you're going. You don't have a rudder. You go into the rocks. You go into danger thinking that you're safe and you're not. And that's how you have a shipwreck. Folks, your faith won't do that if you truly have faith. And then he goes and he names, he says, "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." If you come up with another gospel, Paul says, let them be accursed. This is the truth of the gospel. Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived a perfect life, came down to earth, born of a virgin, died on the cross for mankind's sin, took the place of a murderer, was buried, on the third day rose again to show that He has power over sin and power over death itself, which is the penalty of sin. Rose to the heavens and now offers forgiveness to all who call on Him for forgiveness and repentance. And basically wants to give the gift of eternal life because it is the gift. You can't earn it or deserve it. That is the fundamentals of the gospel. That is what faith is all about. And if it doesn't match that, it's not real. This morning we're going to look at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And we're going to talk about faith that does not save. Faith that does not save. Looking at James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. But before we read the Word of God, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for its truth. Father, we thank You that You make us whiter than snow through the washing water of Your Word. Father, help us, Lord, to answer the question, are we washed in the blood? And I pray that that would be yes. Lord, we just ask that Your Holy Spirit would have full reign here. And Father, that Satan will not have any foothold here in our lives, Lord, or in our church. And Lord, that You just cast him out. Father, I pray that the Word and the truth will change our life, Lord. And the preaching of it, Lord, will help us to understand. We thank You We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we ask that that all rain down on us today. Have your Holy Spirit fill this place today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not what those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" What worth is it? "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." We need to understand that we are saved by faith. "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by" what? "Faith." To be justified means that you can stand in the presence of God. And the only way we can stand in the presence of God is to be justified by faith in Christ. It says, "And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You believe what He did while on the cross was for you. You believe that He was in the grave. You believe He was resurrected. You believe He forgave your sins. You believe He's going to give you the gift of heaven and eternal life. You believe those things. That's by faith. We are saved by faith. No one can be saved by good works. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." We are saved by faith. No one can be saved by good works. "There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All our righteousness are as filthy rags." You can't get your way to heaven on your own. No one can be saved by good works. It's the gift of God. No one can be saved by keeping the law. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16 says this, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law." If you're trying to keep some sort of religious dogma, you're trying to keep some man's idea about how being good enough, you're going to fall short and you're going to hell. I can't paint it a better picture than that. It's right or wrong. It's heaven or hell. It says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." So we're saved by faith. No one can be saved by good works. No one can be saved by keeping the law. No one can be saved apart from faith in Christ. In Acts 4:12 it says, "Neither is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And that name is Jesus Christ. On His way to Gethsemane, the night before he was crucified. He says to his disciples in John 14, verse 6, he says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, we're going to talk about fundamentals today.
Amen.
And the most fundamental thing is, are you saved? Are you saved? Do you have saving faith in Jesus Christ alone? We read this passage here, though, and we see that James makes some startling statements. And if you don't take the Bible in its entirety, understand what it really means, you could kind of get the idea that you have to have faith and something else. But that's not the case. Salvation is only by faith. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he says, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt what? Believe in thy heart. The first thing is, you have to believe. It's just not saying something. You have to believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And this righteousness is to good works. See, you can't do good things unless you have a good heart. You can't have a good mind unless you have a good heart. And those two things together allow you to do good things. Allow you to do good things. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. So he makes some startling statements about here. But he seems to contradict Paul, but he's not contradicting him at all. So, in this passage, there's three things that James says about faith that does not save. The first one is found in verses 14 through 17, where faith that is mere profession does not save. He says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? Here's the point. Talk is cheap. You could turn on the news, you could turn on the internet, you could turn on the radio, you can look at politicians, you can look at, they want to say the things that you want to hear, but it's not the things that you need to hear. And sometimes it's not even truth. And then the truth changes. See, we need to understand that the emphasis in verse 14 is on the word say. Not believe. Not have. It's about saying. This is a profession without any sort of evidence of salvation. Isaiah chapter 29 verse 3. Which Christ quotes to the crowd when they're denying him as the Messiah. And in Isaiah 29, 3, it says, wherefore the Lord saith, forasmuch as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Remember, it's either a diamond that's God made, or it's fake, which is man made. It's man made. And so Christ talks, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It's about saying here. But the issue is does it profit? Does it profit? Does it really mean anything? See, something's missing. In verses 15 to 16, something's missing. He says here, he uses an example. He says, if a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? What good is it? What good is it? The issue is something's missing. The professor of faith shows no fruit of faith. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, the same night that Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He goes on, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's about Jesus, folks. This church is about Jesus. It says, abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same what? Braineth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If you say you know God, but you can't do anything for God, do you really know him? Do you really know him? Something is missing. This professor of faith shows no fruit of faith. It's like speaking kindly to this hungry people, but doing nothing for their benefit. In Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Christ is talking about the parable of the seeds and the sower. And he talks about the seed that goes among the thorns in the thorny ground. He says in verse 14, he says that the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the world choketh out, and this seed doesn't bring any sort of fruit to perfection. It doesn't bring about the right fruit. See, if we believe Christ, it's going to bring forth righteousness. So something is missing. Talk is cheap. Something is missing. Paul says this, that faith in Christ makes us different. There are a lot of people out there that say they know Jesus Christ, but their life doesn't reflect it.
Right.
And folks, if you know Jesus Christ, your life needs to reflect it. And if it doesn't reflect it, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. By their fruit ye shall know them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says there, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Later on, he says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ. He says, behold, all things are become new. And then he writes to the church at Ephesus, which is after, not of works lest any man should boast. But then in verse 10, Paul writes, he says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, here's the thing. God wants everyone to be saved. That's his first will for everybody. After that, he wants everybody to do good works. Because you are saved. Because you've been created in Christ Jesus. To do what? Good works. What does James say? He says, if you say have faith, and you don't show it by some sort of action, what good is it? What good is it to anybody else? What good is it to you? It's not good. It's worthless. It's worthless. Faith that is mere profession does not save. There needs to be a change. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, what happened? Did you just say some words, say some prayer, go through some ritual, and there was no life change? God wants life change. This is what this church is all about. It's about life change. That's what Christ is all about. It's about a life change. It changes your total direction. And if you're not changed in direction, you're going into the rocks and you will be shipwrecked. You'll be shipwrecked. So faith that is mere profession does not save. Faith that does not bring spiritual life does not save. In verse 17 it says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. See, the point that we need to understand, this faith that has no spiritual life is a dead giveaway of being counterfeit. Is a dead giveaway of being counterfeit. It is not childlike trust in Christ. He says, if you don't believe in me as a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's not trusting in Christ alone. It is the gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It's a gift. It's something that you can't do. Only God could do it. And He had to put His Son on the cross to do it. And on the cross He said, "It is finished." Redemption for everyone who will believe in what He did.
Amen.
On the cross He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You have to believe that to be the case. It's faith that's counterfeit is not trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Faith that is counterfeit is something that's called faith, but it's not. And we see that today in the world. Everybody is redefining what truth is. Everybody is redefining what faith is, what religion is, what a Christian is, what right is, what wrong is. Folks, this here is what tells us what is right and what is wrong.
Amen.
This here tells us what is faith and what is false.
Amen.
It's some religious act or experience that they call faith. And if it doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, it's false. It's not about, well, we all believe in God somehow. No. How can two walk together except they be agreed? See, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "And you being dead in your sins and circumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened." See, to be quickened means to be brought to life. If you know Christ as your Savior, you've been brought to the newness of life. The old things are gone. Everything is new again. And you don't have to go backwards. You go forwards. "Hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Faith in Christ always brings new life. There are no exceptions. When Nicodemus met Christ that evening, and we went through this about a month ago in our study in John. In John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, it says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said unto him, "How can this happen?" Because he's thinking like a man. He's thinking like the world. "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And they'll try to, and man will take anything to try to twist it to make it work for him. But then the answer is this. In verse 5, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You know what cannot means? Cannot. You won't be there. Unless you have faith that gives you spiritual life, you're not going there. It's more than a profession. It's something that gives you a life change. Jesus turns no one away. In John 6, verse 37, He says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That God's long suffering towards us, in that while we were sinners, He died for us, but He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This invitation is for whosoever. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Amen.
Folks, have you called on Christ from here? From here. Not up here. Has it changed your life? Was there a life change then? Now some people will go backslide and they'll go back into some of their old ways. But you know where you'll spend eternity. And doing something wrong will cause you to grieve over that and cause you to get right with God. That spiritual life Faith that does not bring spiritual life does not save. Faith that is merely intellectual agreement does not save. Here in verse 19 it says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. But the devils also believe and tremble." Believing the facts is not necessarily faith. You know, you have faith in your light switch. The other night, had power outage. Have you ever had power outage in your house? You go in the bathroom, it's dark, and you what? You go, what's wrong? But we have faith that when you hit that light switch, something happens. But unless there's electricity going to it, it ain't working. Folks, faith is that you know God's behind your decision. You know God's there all the time helping you. It's just not up here, it's down here. You know that. See, the demons believe that there's only one God. They tremble when they think about it. And their acceptance of this fact does not save them. Doesn't help them at all. You know, one of the in the Gospels, the first recognition of who Jesus Christ was, not from man, is from the demons. It's from the demons. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, Christ meets this demon-possessed man. And the demon cries out and says, hey, he says here, he says, behold, they cry out, say, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? They know who Christ is. Satan knows who Christ is. Deep inside, you know who he is too. And they know that they have no hope. Even though they know Christ, know who he is, they saw him, they have no hope. And folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have no hope. Because you don't have saving faith. You need to know him as your Savior. One can agree with the facts of the gospel and be lost. There's several stories of people coming to Christ. One was a rich young ruler, and he said this. He says, good master, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. He says, you keep the law. He says, I've done that. I've honored God. I haven't committed adultery. I give. And then he said this. He says, if you want to be perfect, give up everything you have. Give to the poor. And then you're ready for the kingdom of heaven. And he went away because he had great riches. He couldn't do it. If any man follow him, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. A scribe came to Christ. And in Mark chapter 12, verses 32 through 34, you know the story. Which is the greatest commandment in the law? Trying to trip him up. And Christ said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself, which you can't do in yourself. And in Mark 6, 12, verses 32 to 34, he says, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is what? One God. This guy knew it. This guy knew it. And there is none other but him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all thy understanding, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and to love his neighbor as thyself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. He knew it! He knew it! But look at verse 34. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. He didn't say you're part of the kingdom of God. He says you're close. You're on the right track. Knowledge of God puts you on the right track. But confession of God seals the deal. That's what we need to understand. So faith that is merely intellectual agreement does not say believing the facts is not necessarily faith. No one can agree with the facts of the gospel and be lost. Intellectual assent is not really faith anyway. It's just believing in a fact. It's just another gospel. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writes this. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. See what happened in the Galatian church is what happens in religions today. It might start out right. Paul goes to the church and he says, this is how you get to heaven. This is what Christ did. This is what Christ did. And they believed it. And then all of a sudden a bunch of Judaizers come in and say, no, you got to do this and keep the law. You got to get circumcised. You got to keep the law of Moses. You got to keep all these commandments here, which you can't do. And Paul says, I can't believe this, that you're so swayed so soon into another gospel. Don't get swayed by other people to say, well, I know God, and that's good enough. Knowing God means you know Him here, not up here. Not up here. Paul says it's just called the gospel. In Galatians 1 verse 7 it says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The next verse he says, if someone else preaches the gospel, including an angel preaches another gospel, let him be accursed. So faith that is merely intellectual agreement does not say. What does living faith look like? Well, first of all, one must come from the facts to faith to be saved. And then James concludes this section, and very quickly here, it uses two examples. He uses the example of Abraham. And we know the story of Abraham. He says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? That wasn't anything at all. God asked him to sacrifice Isaac. But God had made a promise to him that through Isaac was going to be many seeds of faith to him. As numerous as the stars, the sand of the sea, and stars in heaven. And if Isaac was dead, how would that come to pass? How would that come to pass? And it says, seeing thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You know why? Because he said, okay, God, you'll do this. And when Isaac said, wait a second, where's the sacrifice? He says, God will provide himself a sacrifice. That's faith, folks. You go through the actions because of your faith. And then you trust in the promise that takes you beyond the action and puts you on a new path. And we know the story. Isaac was not sacrificed. There was a ram in a thicket. Where did that come from? God made it. Be there. Because Abraham had. And then God said this. He says, because you haven't withheld your only son. You haven't withheld the thing that is most precious to you. You're going to keep everything that I've said to do. He trusted God and it moved him to obedience. His faith produced works. It was righteousness. He believed in the promises of God and he became known as the friend of God. And in John 15 verse 14, Christ says this. He says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. How can you prove to other people that you know God if you don't do what God says to do? There's people out there who know more Bible than we do. And they'll challenge you. If you say you know God, well, then why are you doing this? And if that's happening in your life, you need to change. If we know what to do, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Pretty rough message today. But the issue is this is what's important. Amen. Saving faith is the most important thing. Because you can't build on anything else. There's no other foundation that you can build on except Christ.
Amen.
Rahab's faith caused her to save the Israeli spies. She had heard what God had done at the Red Sea. She had heard what God had done to the enemies of Israel in the wilderness. She had heard how God had brought this people to the Jordan River. And she says, I know that your God is the right one. And will you deliver me? And she had enough faith to believe that what the spies say came true. How many times can you trust someone anymore? See, those spies were sent from God. They spoke the word of God, and Rahab was saved. And we know what happened. Her whole family was saved because they were all in the house. So the question here today, do you have biblical faith? Do you have biblical faith? It is not mere profession.
Right.
And if you're hanging on to something like that, and you're trying to convince yourself that that's your faith, you better discharge that and find true faith today. Well, I've walked the aisle before. I don't care if you walk the aisle 10 times. If you know that you need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, do it today.
Amen.
Do it today. Well, I'm a member of this church. That doesn't do anything. Well, I got baptized. That got you wet. The issue is, what's down here? Because if it's down here, it's going to show through your life. It's not counterfeit. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you done that in your life? And Christian, if you have, where's the fruit? Where's the fruit? Has God revealed something to you today that you need to go forward and do more for Him? It's because of faith that we live for Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this time of invitation. Father, we just ask that Your Holy Spirit will have full reign here. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, today I pray that they would ask for forgiveness of sins, believe that what You did on the cross was for them, that You rose again from the dead, and that You offer eternal life and forgiveness of sins. Lord, I pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of You today. Lord, for us, help us, Lord, to live out our faith. Help us, Lord, to show that we have saving faith, Lord, that will convince others, people, and put to silence the gainsayers. Lord, be with this time of invitation, Father, change our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.